from the city of brotherly love, this is Shark Bite Biz with David Strausser.
Did it again, he just directed the newest episode of Shark Bite Biz. I'm your rockstar wannabe host, David Strausser, and this is your place to learn how to grow a business during complete global chaos. Today's episode, you're going to be blown away. We are going to be interviewing an actual rock star. I'm the rockstar wannabe, so I have to bring on the occasional actual rock star because rock bands are businesses too. So, who do we have today? None other than Jeff Pilson. While you may not know his name, you know his music. Co-writer of many of the famous hits you've heard from bands like Docking, as well as a current member of Foreigner, actually touring with them right now, Jeff joins this show to talk about his new album For the End Machine, which is actually their third album. So without further delay, let's rock on with Jeff.
Business strategy.
What an honor. Jeff Pilsit, welcome to Shark Bite Biz. You, my friend, you just became shark bait.
Oh, wow. Well, thank you. Eat me.
Well, I probably won't do that. But anyways, we have a tradition on this show. Please tell us in your own words, okay, in a nutshell, what's your experience? What's your background? What do you do for a living? Basically, what makes Jeff Jeff?
Well, my name is Jeff Pilsen. I'm currently the bass player and musical director for Foreigner. And of course, I probably came to a lot of people's minds through the band Docking that I joined in 1983. And then I've played with Docking, Dio, MSG. I had my own band, War and Peace. And now I've got The M Machine and Black Swan and Revolution Saints. And I continue touring with Foreigner. So I'm a busy guy who's happy to be here.
That is awesome. Well, I'm glad that you found time with all that you're doing to be on this show. I mean, it's amazing to get somebody like you. I mean, growing up, I just got to say this one personal story. My stepfather was such a huge Docking fan. And I learned about Docking. I mean, where I am from, they lived 20 years in the past anyway. So like you got Docking's still famous out here. As is Foreigner to everybody, because I mean, there's so many hits from those bands that are incredible. And even if people don't know, like, hey, this is Docking, okay, they know the songs, and then they're like, oh, that's Docking, yeah, that's Docking. I mean, that was amazing, and you've helped write or was at least part of the band with a lot of some of their biggest hits.
Yeah. I was a co-writer on a lot of stuff. Yes, absolutely.
That is awesome. So right now, from what I understand, you're with The End Machine and you just launched a new album, which is The Quantum Phase. Is that correct?
That is correct. Yes.
Okay. And I will tell you, I have been given a copy to listen to before the interview, and I've been rocking out to this all weekend. This is amazing. I will tell you, out of this album, I would say Stand Up and Burning Man are probably my two favorite songs on the album.
Oh, interesting.
But Into the Blazing Sun is also pretty gnarly.
Oh, that's cool. Very cool. Yeah, well, I'm really happy with the project and the band, and I feel so strongly about this record. George Lynch, of course, is right. Playing like a monster these days. I mean, he's at his pinnacle, and it's pretty amazing. And we have a singer by the name of Girish Pradhan who absolutely delivers. I mean, this guy.
Oh, he does.
His voice is just absolutely incredible. And it's funny you say Burning Man and Stand Up, because those are two kind of extremes of his voice. You know, in Burning Man, he gets very tender and kind of, you know, deep and reflective. And Stand Up, he's killing it, you know. Yep. So I mean, this guy can do anything, and he's a great writer, and he's a great human being. So I am really proud of this record, very excited about it, and I'm glad you're rocking to it.
Oh, I am. You know what? It's kind of like, you know, like we were just talking about Joe Rogan a minute ago. Like, you know, they have it's Joe Rogan esque but without controversy on the show. And you know, I just heard him interviewing, I believe, a rapper the other day, and the rapper was saying, I forget the guy's name, but like, rock, you know, is dead. I wish a big rock band would come out. And I'm thinking, like, rock isn't dead. Like, you have a brand new album that totally kicks ass. I mean, this has the vibes of classic rock, but it's also, to me, I got vibes of modern day as well too.
Like, interesting.
The way that you kind of, like, you can hear some awesome guitar riffs going over vocals and stuff like that. Like, I don't know. I view that being a little bit more modern, whereas before, if you look at 70s, 80s, you just have a single guitar solo, not so much with the singer all the time. You know, in my opinion, you know, I could be wrong, but that's just my take on it. What do you think about that?
Well, I mean, I think what he means by saying rock is dead is, you know, you don't have much in the top 40 right now. That's for sure.
That's true.
You know, there's just in the mainstream rock, I wouldn't call it dead, but I would say it's very stagnant. And you know, hopefully treading water. But no, I agree with that rapper that I would love to see some new rock band. But see, it would have to be a young rock band. Uh-huh. Because, I mean, M Machine, we're not kids. And so young kids aren't going to relate to that. And that's just the way it is. And but I'd love to see some new young rock band come out there. And I don't, you know, and this is nothing against the Greta Van Fleets of the world, but that's not what I mean.
That's what I was thinking about.
Yeah. I mean, they've done a great job and they've done something very, very wonderful for rock, I think. And they have kind of kept it alive. But it's not like, it's not like Guns N' Roses when they came out. You know,
that exploded
mainstream by storm. They were a huge mainstream band. And I think that's what the rapper's talking about. And I would love to see that. I'd love to see some young band come out with a fresh take on rock, but still be rocking, but with their spin on it. And I would love to see that happen. And that could, and you know, the nature of the business and record companies is if somebody's successful doing that, well, then they're going to sign a million people that sound like that. So, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, but sometimes like look at the British Invasion in the 60s, you know, everybody signed once the Beatles started breaking, everybody signed everything that sounded like a beat band, you know? But in there came, you know, the Rolling Stones and the Who and, you know, all these other great Kinks. And, you know, I mean, so I would love to see another explosion like that from young people. That would be great. But, you know,
that'd be amazing. You know,
it also might be something that you and I, or certainly me, may not even recognize because I'm maybe too old to recognize that this new thing is what it is. So who knows? But I mean, I get pretty sick of listening to the mainstream music that's out there. I think it sounds kind of, you know, there is definitely a formula going on. You know, there's only so many chord changes they use. And you know, now where there's only one chord change throughout the song, it just, you know, it just the parts change, the vocal changes, but the music stays the same. Yeah, there's a lot of stuff about modern music that I would love to see amended. But yeah, I mean, I wish a rock band would come along and do that. Let's see, though. It's got to be young people. It's got to be their take on it. It's got to be fresh.
You know, one of the, now this is a cover that they did, but one of the songs came out a couple years ago, I think now, was Bad Wolves doing Zombie from the Cranberries. And their take on Zombie, I don't know. I love it. I think I actually love that more than the original, believe it or not. And the original was incredible, but I loved how they did that.
You can do that, you know?
Yeah, I thought that was, and you went from a female to a male singer and they still rocked it. Like they did an amazing job doing that cover. And I give them total credit with that. So back with your album with the Quantum Phase, like what was the inspiration behind writing it? I mean, do you have some sort of specific theme that went this way? Or was it just like, hey, we got a bunch of these riffs and let's just like make an album out of this? Like how did this creative process happen for you?
Well, there kind of became a theme. I mean, you know, when we initially started, you know, George and I would write the music. And then we'd send it to Grish and he would come up with a first draft of lyrics. And sometimes his first draft was perfect and didn't need anything. Sometimes we had to make suggestions. I mean, it's like always, some of the songs needed rewrites. But they're kind of developed a theme, and you know, we're called the M Machine. We got to be dark. So
yeah.
so it kind of became the whole idea of, you know, the world is going down some nasty, you know, dark places, right? You're going into some dark, nasty, dark places right now, and we better wake and stand up for ourselves, you know, and change it.
Is that why you're called the M Machine?
What's that?
Sorry, I was saying, is that why you're called the M Machine?
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, we want to keep that theme kind of going.
That is good. It is an incredible album. Like I said, I listened to it all weekend. Even had my kids listening to it. And they're not rock fans, but they're like, you know, this isn't that bad. How old is this, Dad? You know, I'm like, this just came out, hud. You know, that was to my 11-year-old daughter. You know, it was a great album. Now, I've got to ask, okay, Dokken, yeah, Foreigner. I mean, you have a lot of other bands that you played with, you know, obviously the End Machine, stuff like that. Who has been your favorite to play with out of all these years?
I don't really have a favorite, but I will say that, you know, George Lynch and I are a very solid team, and our chemistry is incredible. And you know, we kind of kiddingly call each other our musical soulmate. So there is a connection with George that's pretty undeniable. I mean, it's got, you know, 40 plus years of history. So I mean, I don't like to look at it as a favorite, but I mean, we are kind of connected at the hip musically. And
yeah,
it's been a great ride with him, that's for damn sure.
That's awesome. Do you see yourself, as far as with the End Machine, then coming out with more albums, I assume? Isn't like one and done here with this album, or it's not a last album. You are going to continue making music with the End Machine.
Oh, that's definitely the plan. Yeah. I mean, this is our third record. So yeah, we're getting in deep. So yeah, of course I hope to make more records. I mean, I love what we did, and I love the chemistry of everybody. I mean, Steve Brown, fabulous drummer, singer, and human being, you know, just it's really great making music with these guys. So yes, the plan is definitely to do more of that.
Okay. So out of the whole album, what's your favorite song?
My favorite song is probably the opener, Black Hole Extinction. I love that song.
that was a great opening. It hooked me right there.
Oh, good. Yeah. When George and I came up with the music, I didn't necessarily think of it as, certainly not as being the lead track. I thought it was going to be kind of the deep, heavy track on the record.
Mm-hmm.
And then when Garish came up with the chorus, because he came up with the chorus, it was like, nailed. This is great. Mm-hmm. And we haven't looked back ever since. I think that's George and Garish and mine, all of our favorite song.
So how long do you all go back and forth as far as deciding? Because this is something I've always wondered, but I've never asked any of the rock stars that have been on the show. How much do you go back and forth as far as picking where the songs actually line up on the album?
Well, it's kind of a somewhat democratic process. You know, I mean, I start, because I'm the producer, I kind of draft little, you know, I try different arrangements. Then it was, you know, through emails with the record company and George and myself that we sort of decided, and Garish, we sort of decided on the order. And it's, yeah, like I say, a somewhat democratic process.
That's cool. But I mean, are you talking something that was like weeks or days or months?
Weeks.
Weeks? That's not that bad. I mean, that's relatively quick. I mean, how long altogether did it take you to create this album?
I would have to think about that because you know, I have to do it in between touring with Foreigner. So I couldn't honestly give you the answer to that, but I would say months.
Months? Yeah. I mean, still though, that's not, I mean, you're touring with Foreigner, so that's not unrealistic. That's a pretty good timeline, I'd say.
Yeah. I mean, I have to do all my projects like that. I have to, you know, block out blocks of time for what I'm doing. But, you know, Foreigner will go out for 6 weeks, and then I'll have 2 weeks, and I can do something, you know, I can do a week in there, and, you know, that kind of thing. So that's why I don't have a very good recollection. It's not like we start off April 1st and finish the album June 10th. You know, it's not like
right,
that.
Right.
It's like, you know, a week here, a week there. So I have no concept of when it starts and when it ends.
All good. Yeah. So I've got to ask some fandom questions, obviously, with having you on the show. I mean, obviously, people, you've probably been asked this a million times, but who are your personal biggest influences in music?
Oh, I don't mind being asked this. Well, number one, I was a huge Beatles fan. So the Beatles always come first. I went through a phase where I was very into all the progressive bands like, you know, Yes and ELP and Genesis and Gentle Giant and all that kind of stuff. Huge, huge prog guy for a while. And then, you know, I mean, I love AC/DC, Led Zeppelin, Deep Purple, Black Sabbath, all that stuff. And so kind of morph all that together. And those are my tastes.
Okay. That's good. I mean, you can definitely, I don't know. I mean, listening to the album, I mean, there's parts there where I can kind of feel some of those influences, at least from the heavier stuff, you know, like the AC/DC stuff like that. Feel some of that in the album a little bit coming back there. But then I also hear things, you know, like as far as maybe like a Dokken or something like that. It's got, you know, some resemblance to that.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, I mean, you got, you know, part of the songwriting team from Dokken on it. So it's naturally going to do that. And we don't mind that. You know, I don't mind even being compared to Dokken at all, because it's nice to go out there with a real, it's like power Dokken.
And
I think that's great. I mean, you know, Dokken had something very unique about it. And, you know, part of it certainly was based around George's playing. So it's only natural that it would be a big influence with us. So, yeah, I don't mind that at all.
That's awesome. What about the music industry itself? Okay. One thing that I've heard from so many rock stars is royalty checks as far as all these streaming services and stuff like that. You know, I remember, I think it was during COVID, I had Brian Vanderak from The Verve Pipe, who does The Freshman. I don't know if you remember that song or not.
No, I know Brian very well. We were in the movie Rockstar together, actually.
Oh, there you go.
Very talented guy, great guy.
Yeah, we've done an event together once, and great guy. He's been on the podcast. He was telling me his stories about, I think, Czechoslovakia at the time and stuff like that. It was great interview, great guy. And the event we did was incredible because he has a really fascinating story to tell. And anyways, I mean, I remember him talking about the state of the music industry, and he's like, you know, we got X million plays of The Freshman, and I don't quote me on this, but he's like, the royalty check was like $300 or $400.
Yeah.
You know,
right. It's crazy.
Is it really that bad?
It is really that bad. I mean, remember the song Happy by Pharrell?
Yeah.
Okay, so that's an example. I don't even know how many downloads it had, like a billion or something. I mean, some crazy number. And I know that his royalty for that was $40,000, which is
holy cow,
nothing for as huge. I mean, not mind you, he made plenty of money off the song from other sources and everything, but just from streaming, it was $40,000, which is crazy. That's criminal. That's really, really criminal. You know, because a lot of the record deals were structured before anybody realized that streaming was going to become the main platform. So artists are still catching up to that. Artists are going to have to do what the actors and writers just did in Hollywood. We're going to have to either go on strike or renegotiate everything, because it's not a fair rate. It's absolutely, it's immoral how bad the rate is for streaming. And it is becoming the dominant source. So yeah, I mean, you're going to find less and less musicians able to make a living making music if it continues the way it is. And that's criminal.
Yeah, I mean, realistically, musicians to make a living, okay, and a lot of people out there are like, hey, you know, oh, they're billionaires, blah, blah, blah. But hey, like, you got a talent, make as much money as you can, whether you're a small business owner or medium business owner
from it, you know, be able to survive. And not have to work another job, you know. I mean, that's because that takes time away from the creative process. So Yeah, yeah. I mean, again, I think it really needs to be restructured, and I think it needs it badly and soon.
I 100% on board with you. Most of your revenue, I assume, comes from actually touring, doing gigs, merchandise sales, because the music itself, you're not really making. I mean, you're making, you know, pennies.
Very little.
Off of very every little. Couple dollars, I would say.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, CD royalties are good, but people aren't buying CDs anymore. Very few, you know.
Yeah.
Fortunately, like for something like Foreigner and even like the M Machine or Dokken, people do still buy CDs. You know, that is the group that does buy CDs still, but it's way diminished. And it is every day going more and more towards streaming. So yeah, something has to be done and quick.
Yeah. And, you know, vinyl's coming back in fashion now too.
Great. But it's still not enough to make up the difference.
Right. No, it's not. It's not. It's not. So anyways, Jeff, this has been incredible. Do you want to shout anything out? Because I know that you do yoga as well, too. I think you have a yoga shop.
Yeah, I do. I do a if you go to hotforyogascv.com, you can find information on my virtual meditation class that I hold weekly. And I do it even when I'm on the road. So find out from that, because it's a great class. I started doing it in the pandemic, and it's become very important for me. In fact, that's what I have to leave to do in a minute. I have to go teach my class. We have a little thing set up, back there. So, so there's that. And we're also, actually Hot for Yoga is also, doing a retreat, from May 25th to June 1st. In Costa Rica, and we call it movement, meditation, music, and more. It's going to be an outstanding retreat at a wonderful facility that is absolutely gorgeous. It's going to be a lot of fun. There's going to be excursions. It's kind of an all inclusive kind of deal. I mean, people have to buy their airfare and whatnot, but the staying there and the meals and everything are all provided, and it's just going to be a great, great retreat. So encouraging that people to come to hotforyogascv.com, I think /retreat, and we'll tell you about that.
Awesome. And then as far as the End Machine, any tour dates scheduled? That's the one thing I didn't check before the interview.
Right. Well, no, not at this point. It would be great if that happened, but if it did, it would probably be the end of the year, because I'm touring with Foreigner. Till the end of the year, and George has his Lynch Mob that he's doing till the end of the year. So
yeah, I'm definitely going to get to that Foreigner show.
Yo, good. Well, hopefully there can be some live shows at some point, but logistically it's really difficult to pull off. Garish is in India. Steve's touring with Tesla. You know, it's a difficult thing to pull off. So the desire is there, but we'll see. We'll have to see.
We'll see. But anyways, please, everybody, we'll link down to the Hot Yoga page. We'll also link. Where do you want me to link to as far as the quantum phase? What's the best for you?
Well, you can go to The Real Jeff Pilson on Instagram or Facebook, and the Jeff Pilson fan page on Facebook. That's a great place to get information. Just all those places, and just keep listening to the music and enjoying the music, and hopefully buying the music.
Buy the music. Yeah. Support artists, support creativities, because a lot of people forget this. Bands are businesses too. They are small businesses.
Absolutely.
You know? So 100%. Hey, Jeff, thank you so much for coming on.
Pleasure,
you
man.
Rock. It's been an honor.
Thank you. You take care, and let's do this again sometime.
Oh, definitely. Take care, sir. Cheers.
Thanks, man. Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
Wow, that was an incredible chat with Jeff, right? Oh, my God, I love that dude. He's so chill and rock legend, rock royalty in my eyes. First, though, you all know the routine if you found this interview helpful. If it sparked those warm and fuzzies, do me a favor, hit that like button, smash that subscribe button. But if you really want to help us out, because you know Shark Bite Biz is the greatest kept secret in the world of small business, share us out to your friends, family, colleagues, anywhere that you dwell on the interwebs. I'd love to see nothing more than Jeff Pilson, than the End Machine, Dokken, Foreigner, all of us. Shark Bite Biz out there trending. Let's get it done. Jeff, you rock. Awesome stuff. I agree. Artists need to get paid. Artists should get paid for all these streaming services and stuff like that, and shouldn't just have to rely on touring and stuff like that themselves. You had so many good points there, and dude, just keep on rocking. Go out, support him, buy his album. You know, it's people like him, these creative geniuses, that give us a lot of the things, those special moments in your life that maybe one of their songs you're playing and you just remember that. People like Jeff make that happen. It's just incredible. Dude rocks. Anyways, question of the day. Which one of Jeff's bands are your favorite? Leave a comment down below on YouTube. Do you want to be on the show? Interviews at sharkbitebiz.com. If you're watching on YouTube, please, please, please join the channel. Become a baby shark. With $3 a month, you support this channel. Every dollar in is every dollar out. Just trying to reach more people so that we can keep bringing on rock stars like Jeff Pilsen. Y'all know this by now, but I'm David Strasser. This is Shark Fight Biz. We'll see you all next week. Ciao.
You've just experienced Shark Bite Biz with Dave Strasser. Make sure to like, comment, and subscribe to the show to help us spread the word about personal, professional, and business growth. Want to be on the show? Send an email to interviews@sharkbitebiz.com. Till next episode.